Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
I love the Bible. I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I believe everything in the Bible. And I'm going to stand for it. And I kind of had to today. And so anyway, God kind of put together an interesting teaching tonight in my mind and in my heart, and I'm going to share it with you. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 34, and I want you to pray about the message, and just pray that God'll have grace on us. Amen? God'll have grace on us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and pray for, me and Alicia, Michaela, Gary, Kay, Brady, and Bradley are going to Harrison, Arkansas tomorrow. And we'll be traveling down there, looking forward to that. And so anyway, just pray for us, and I'll be preaching Saturday morning. And a little bit different. Usually I go down there with big PowerPoint slides, and I mean, I show all kinds of stuff that the devil's doing. I'm not doing that this year. And I'm going to teach. I'm not done with it yet, and it just really, I sat down today and worked on it, but I'm going to teach on the millennial reign of Christ, and I've never really done a teaching on that, but it's a beautiful study in the Bible. We talk about how we're going to go to heaven one of these days. Well, that's true. Then we're coming back. We're not done. Okay, God's got a job for us, okay, and I'm going to show that in the Bible. So anyway, just pray for that, and pray to God'll bless it, all right? There's some people that, I mean, I believe they love the Lord, and I believe they love this Bible, and I know some of them very well, and they're struggling with amillennialism right now. That is the teaching that the millennial reign is not really 1,000 years. It's sort of happening right now, and I mean, I don't want to get into that today, man, but just pray for, I want this teaching to be for some pastors and some people to just take the Bible for what it says. Amen. Take the Bible for what it says. I'm not even taking a video camera. I'll have CDs. Okay, they record this, and I'll have CDs of it. All right. So anyway, I just don't feel led to do that this year, and so I'm gonna try to mind the Lord this year. All right. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you, and Lord, I thank you, dear God. Lord Father, I thank you for this Bible. It is everything, dear God. And Lord, this somebody, Lord, is on my heart right now. And I've prayed for them already today, and I'm going to pray for them again. And Lord, just please help. Please help, dear God, Lord, in that situation. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless these needs that have been mentioned tonight, these family members and people, dear God, that just need, they need encouragement. They need grace, Father, Lord, from the Lord. They need blessing. They need the seed of the Word of God to be implanted in their life, Lord, and they need to get some thorns out of their life. And I just pray, God, Lord, that you would just bless them and guide them. Father, we pray for these that have been mentioned tonight. And Lord, Father, we just thank you, dear God, for the gift of prayer that we can go to you, Father, and we can say, hey, Lord, I need some help here. And Father, you help. And Lord, I'm glad. God, I'm so glad. Lord, that even when I don't feel like saying anything, God, I can still say, God, please help. And Lord, you're the God that hears that and responds with tremendous blessing. Thank you, dear God, for being that kind of God to me. Lord, that I don't have to perform in order to receive grace. Thank you, dear God, for that. I'm a poor performer, God. And I just thank you, dear God, for loving me and for caring for me and for answering my prayers. Lord, I love you, and I thank you, dear God, for what you're going to teach us tonight. Lord, help it to be a blessing and not a stumbling block. Help it to be a blessing and not a curse. Help it, dear God, to be received and not rejected, Father, Lord, by a stony heart. Lord, Father, just deal with us tonight as your children. Lord, Father, correct us, chastise us, Father, Lord, if you have to. And then, Lord, Father, just love on us and bear us up as your sons. We thank you, Lord, for this Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 34. It's going to sound like I'm going to preach to a lot of the young people here tonight, and I am. And I like to, every now and then, I like to deal with our young people. And young people, this is not the world that your mom and dad grew up in. It is different. The sin's the same. There's just more of it out there. And we are seeing a transition in this country and in our culture. And it is a very dangerous world. The sin is still out there. Sin was around when I was a kid. Amen. All you adults, sin was around when we were kids. The devil did a pretty good job of showing us where it was all at. Amen. Okay. But I come from a time when you could ride your bike around. In fact, I remember one day in particular, me and a couple buddies of mine, we rode for miles out there in the countryside around Hematite, Missouri, and areas like that. We just rode and rode and rode. It took us all day long. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have GPS trackers. We didn't have anything like that. We just rode our bikes. And I remember we rode by one old man's house, and he was calling us. He was sitting down on the porch, and he was calling us to come down in his yard. Well, listen, I didn't know that old guy, so I said, you know what, we need to go. And we just kept on going. And that's about as bad as it was. But today, I let Caleb out in the yard and let him play, okay? But he knows there's boundaries out there. He's not to go down by the road. I don't want him down by the road. Somebody will drive by and see him, and he'll be gone in 10 seconds or less, and we'll not know about it. That's the world that we live in right now, and it's very dangerous. And there's areas of danger that are surrounding our young people tonight. They are just absolute danger zones. They're just everywhere. Was looking over this chapter today, and it kind of reminded me of that. In Genesis chapter 34, remember that that Jacob, out of all the boys he had 11 sons up to this point, but he had one girl, had one daughter, okay? If you've ever been a girl and grew up around a bunch of boys, that's what she had to do. Kay knows what I'm talking about, okay? Had a bunch of brothers, okay? But anyway, that was Dinah, and that's what she had. And those brothers, they took after her, okay? I probably gave her a hard time, this, and that, and the other, but we're going to say there's a whole big mess here in Genesis chapter 34. It's a mess that nobody wants in their family, but that's how it ended up. And we talk about these great people out of the Bible like Jacob and Abraham and things like that. This family was messed up. And the tribe of Levites was the tribe that God selected to be the sacrificial priesthood tribe that had, okay, and I kind of think one of the reasons why God chose them, was Levi had blood on his hands. Levi was a killer, and we'll find that out if we get that far in this chapter. But I want to deal just a little bit here in the first few verses of Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Okay, I want you to get this, and just kind of think about it here. This girl grew up with all these boys, and they were. If you remember, Jacob has already left where the land where Haran was. He's left Laban and Haran. He's left that whole clan, and he's been on the move now, and he settles now here at Shalem in the land of the Canaanites. The land of Canaan here in verse 18 of the previous chapter. So they've moved, they're in a new place, they've got a bunch of land, and just a typical tent-dwelling farm family is what it is. But it's probably close by to this city, okay? She knows that there's girls out there. She's probably craving the friendship of girls, to do girl talk, okay? Girl things, see what the girls in town are doing, see what the girls in town are like, And listen, I want to. I understand that. I don't understand how it's like to be a girl. Thank God. Okay. But I understand the idea of wanting friend, being a young person, wanting friends, wanting companions, wanting things like that. Just wanting. You kind of feel like you're all alone. I understand that. I really do. Okay. But this thing in Dinah, it ended up causing. There was a whole town full of people murdered. Because Dinah went out to see the girls. Okay? Dinah went out to see the girls. And so I want you to kind of get that. And I'm kind of going to teach tonight on realms of biblical authority. I'm going to teach tonight on protection. that comes by authority. And just because there's a multitude of girls, that doesn't mean that that's where you need to be.
Exactly.
And listen, I'm not just preaching that to these girls here tonight. I'll preach that to these boys, and I'll preach that to you moms and dads.
Amen.
Just because there's a multitude of people out here, and I'll be honest with you, the church is a multitude. These big churches that are around everywhere, do you know why most people go to the big churches? They sneak in and out, do the little religious deal, hear the little peppermint patty message, and be out the door and live how they want to live. Okay? That's the truth of it. Okay? You're in a little church like this, I'm going to look you in the eye and I know your name. Okay? And it makes people feel uncomfortable, and they don't want that. But I will tell you that there is churches out there that I would consider the multitude churches. And there's a verse, and probably some of you already have gone there in your mind. But I want to tell you what, just because the world offers friendship doesn't mean you have to take it.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. And this is hard for us to get. We don't like to hear this. Jesus taught us about what it's like to make fellowship with the world. And he talked about, he used the imagery of our body. He said, if your eye offend thee, what are you supposed to do? Pluck it out. And Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our best friend, our High Priest, our Lamb, the man who takes away the sins of the world, told us out of His kindness and out of His friendship to us and out of His love for us that you are better off in life without an eye than you are to go through life looking at some of the things you look at. Isn't that what our friend told us? I did a Bible study today out of the book of Revelation, and Jesus was talking to the Ephesian church. He said, but I have somewhat against thee. And I just kind of get this idea here. Jesus is coming to his best friend, putting his arm around him, and said, I want you to know I love you, and I know you love me, but I got something I want to deal with you. I've got something against you that we need to take care of. That's a friend. Amen. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And Christ every now and then has to wound us, and then he'll bind us up. He'll heal us. Okay? But anyway, she went up. Just because there's a multitude, you're better off in life not having associated with some of the people you've associated with and doing without than you are to be compromised by your friends and by Facebook and be compromised by the multitude and the big mega churches and compromised by what's popular and everything else in the world. You are better off in life having done without those things than being influenced by them and end up in hell. You're better off. And our flesh doesn't see it that way. We don't like preaching like that. We don't like talk like that. My flesh doesn't like that. I wouldn't mind having a big old church and have everybody like me, this and that and the other. I done found out today, not everybody likes me. Okay? And that bothers me. That bothers me. I get it. I understand how that is. I grew up trying to fit in certain groups and certain deals. I found out a long time ago I'm not an athlete. I tried it. I gave it my best shot. Okay? Against Grandview. That's the only time they let me play. Any over a minute was when we played Grandview, because we was going to smoke them anyway. Okay? Play Grandview. We're going to win. Let Hoggard in. Okay? I tried to fit in. Listen, and some of those guys on that basketball team, we're supposed to be a team. They didn't care much for me. And they let that be known. So I didn't fit in with that crowd. And I didn't fit in with the popular. I wasn't the whiz kid genius that some of these other. I wasn't on the A honor roll all the time. So I didn't fit in with that. And I kept trying to fit in this group, and I just didn't fit in. Okay? And so I know the feeling. I get it. I understand how that is. And I'm telling you right now that I thank God to this day that I didn't fit in some of those groups. I'm thanking God that I did not fit into some of those groups. I lament some of the friendships that I made in my early teenage years. I lament those days because I'm carrying them around even to this day. I lament that. But there's nothing I can do about it. Just move on and go on. Amen. And I'm just telling you that not everybody that walks up to you and acts like they want to be your friend is going to be your friend.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? And I'm telling that to adults and young people and whoever is going to listen to me tonight, is that you're better off without the multitude and following Jesus than you are with your friends, if your friends are going to cause you to compromise. I've kind of talked about this a little bit. When I grew up in this church, we had one Bible, Brother Sterling. Old Ken Goff, he preached this old King James heart, still does. He's one of these old preachers. I love him dearly because he told me, several years ago, he told me, Mike, he said, I appreciate your stand on the King James. Amen. He said, stick with it and don't run away from it. Amen. Okay? And I appreciate you. God bless him for that. He's still preaching, still trying to do the work. And, hey, praise the Lord, we need more of it. Okay? It wasn't so much the scholars and the teachers and the textual critics at Bible college that led me away. It was being popular with the student body. And by the time I was in my third year of Bible college, I was. They elected me student body chaplain. I was everybody's friend. Okay? And already the seeds of other Bibles had been planted inside of me. Okay? And I basically just kind of, I went out there strong. And 2 years later, I was weak, didn't realize it. Okay? And that's the friends that I made. That was the people that I associated with. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have anybody that I went to high school with that I see on a weekly, monthly, or even a yearly basis. Not one. I might see them at the store every now and then, say hi to them. Some of them remember me, some of them don't. I remember just about everybody I went to school with. Okay? But I am not now friends with any of these people. The people that I went to Bible college with, there's one that I can still call my true friend. He's a good guy and he loves this Bible right here. Okay? Other than that, I don't have them. And you sell your soul to these temporary friends. That's exactly what you've done. You've sold your soul. And Diana went out, probably outside of the realm of mom and daddy's authority, to go hang out with the girls to see what it was like. And God was already... God, the Canaanites were always people that God said, I'm not going to have them. Yeah. And we're going to find out here, you know, years later, that God's going to end up using the tribes of Israel to run the Canaanites out of the land. And he said, make no deals with them. Don't let your daughters marry their sons, and don't let your sons marry their daughters. Amen. Okay? Have nothing to do with them. You know why? He said, they'll teach you something that your mom and daddy didn't teach you. They're going to teach you strange doctrines. They're going to teach you a different religion that is going to appeal to your flesh. It's going to sound real good and you're going to like it. But it's not, their God is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of your forefathers. And it's not the God of the Ten Commandments. And I'm sending out a strong message tonight that when you go outside the realm of God's authority over you, you're leaving His protection. There, with authority, there's protection. The verse I'm thinking of tonight, well, let's look at it. She went out to see the daughters of the land. Okay, want to go cruising. Want to go to the mall with the girls. How many of y'all go to the mall on Friday and Saturday night? Man, we ain't been a long time. It makes me mad every time I go there. Okay, go to the mall on Friday. And you know what makes me mad? Is that when we go to the mall, our kids are walking right there with us. Okay, I didn't care how old they were. They was right there with us. And we go to the mall, and you'll see a minivan pull up, out pops three or four teenage girls, about two or three whoremongering teenage boys out there, and you're going to let them loose and run around in the mall all hours of the night, leave them alone by themselves. That's dangerous. I don't get that. I don't think that way as a parent. I don't think you ought to think that way as a parent either. Okay? And, so what happened was in verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, that's who it was, the Hivites, prince of the country. Now I'm going to tell you something. I like Bible language, and this just kind of rings with me. There's a prince out looking for your kids. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a devil out there looking for your kids. And as long as they're under your authority and under your protection, they are under your protection when they're under your authority. When they start sneaking around on you, that's when they get outside of that, and there's a devil waiting right outside your home for them. Yeah. And in some cases, he's waiting inside the home. You got to be careful. And Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. He took her and lay with her and defiled her. Okay? Now, doesn't say she was raped. She might have been. But the bottom line is, she was in the wrong place. She got there. She set herself up for it. She's out there with the girls, but you know how it is. And the girls get together, and all of a sudden this good-looking, handsome prince, literally a prince, making eyes at Dinah. And the fact that he took her that night and lay with her tells me that was not his first time. That boy had been around. That boy had probably, he'd probably gone through those other girls that she was hooking up with there in town. He'd probably gone through them. He saw her come into town. He said, boy, I'd like to have her. This was not his first time around the block. And I'm telling you, they're waiting all around us. Amen? Has hat on sideways, pants hanging down. Amen? Gang stuff hanging off of him. Tattoos everywhere. But he probably started making eyes at her. She'd not had that at home. Thank God none of the brothers was making eyes at her. Amen? And he started making eyes at her. And started doing that sweet talk. You know how us guys are. Amen? The Bible doesn't say he raped her, but he took her. She probably liked the attention. And he got her off somewhere, and he lay with her. In verse 3, his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And this unleashed a firestorm. I don't know that we'll have time to get to it tonight. But it basically turned the brothers of Dinah into murderers, is what it did. They ended up slaughtering an entire town's worth of men over the sins of one man. Okay? If you look in verse 30, when it's all done, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. Among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. The brothers pretty much stood their ground, and they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? Okay, and that's the end of the story right there. But I just want to talk for a few minutes tonight. I don't know why this is on my heart, but I don't know, maybe somebody here, maybe somebody watching us tonight, maybe some young people need some encouragement. I will say the people that are watching us tonight, by and large, are families that decided not to follow the multitude in their church. Amen. I'm still getting emails every week from new people. One today. Okay, one email that I remember today. Somebody saying we couldn't take it anymore in our church. We decided we had to leave. We just couldn't do it. Do you know of a church in our area? Well, I've never been to Australia, so I don't know that I can recommend any place. Okay? And I'd like to help them. I really would. I'd like to think that there's a good Bible-believing church out there somewhere that these people could go to. But the situation is right now, it's very, very grim in that you cannot find a good Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing church. And a lot of the people that are watching us, maybe even tonight, I know on Sunday we had, I think we had about 287 different people watching. And that represents people that, by and large, they were at a church, they watched it go on, a new pastor come in. That's what somebody told me today, but we got a new pastor in, and he's already started talking about being a missional church, and I know the language they're using. He said it's going to take about 2 years. And they said some of the older folk in our church are going to him saying, this is not right. There's something not that they haven't done the research I have done. They don't know, but there's something in their spirit that's saying, you know what, these are not the old paths.
Yes, amen.
And they'll go to their pastor and say, Pastor, we love you, but these things are not right. We kind of looked at some things on the internet. And one lady in particular, I remember, she said she handed her pastor some papers that she had downloaded from the internet and says, would you please read this about Rick Warren? And she said, I saw his visage instantly change right in front of me.
Yeah.
And she said, it wasn't too long after that that him and one of the deacons come over to our house where me and my husband have a home business, asked us to leave and not come back. They did not want them starting trouble in that church. And I want to tell you something. That happens in just about every case. And Rick Warren told them to do it. He wrote it in his manuals that if you face the resistance, tell them they'd probably be better off someplace else. And it's usually the older folk. Because they know where the old paths are. And so these are people that have decided that they're not going to follow the multitude into hell. And that's exactly where these strange doctrines are heading. They're leading people right into the very pits of hell. Right inside of the church house. And they've decided to come out. And so I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. That if you've left one of these false churches. Okay. And I'm not saying that you just got in rebellion and walked out. And you're using us as an excuse. If you are, shame on you.
Right.
Okay? And I'm not praying for you, I'm praying against you. Amen? If you're just in rebellion, that's your problem. And I know some people that are like that. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you decided that you couldn't hear one more NIV sermon, and you couldn't listen to one more round of 30 repeats of a praise and worship song, okay? And you didn't want to hear the pastor talk dirty behind the pulpit, and you left, thank you.
Amen.
Keep standing for the Bible. Amen. Don't follow that multitude. In fact, let's turn there. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Young people, listen to this now. It's almost like God took a young person, set him down, and said, let me show you something. Exodus 23, verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Okay? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Back when I was a teenager, the big thing around here was, Lisa probably remembers this back, the big thing around in this town was, is you cruise Main Street here in Festus. I mean, people were coming from, they were coming from 50 miles away to cruise Main Street here in Festus. Just driving a car back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Go down one end of Main Street, turn around in the parking lot, and come back. Okay? And I my mama never let me do that, but there was one night in particular, I was doing some music practice at school, and I thought, I'm going to sneak over. And I decided I didn't like it because I had a clutch in that car and I kept having to go, like that. It was wore out by the time I got done. Okay? And I'm going, okay, I did it. Big deal. You know what they're out there looking for? They're out there looking for drugs, they're out there looking for alcohol, and they're out there looking for sex. Okay? About the same way with the prom.
Amen.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. Don't follow the multitude to do evil. I don't care if you're the least popular person in your school and everybody hates you. You're better off being loved by Jesus Christ and hated by the world. I'm talking about your soul. I'm not talking about how you look in the yearbook. I'm talking about your soul. Okay? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:33. These are verses we probably know, but I'm going to stir your remembrance up. I want to stir up the reason why you don't like me sometimes. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. And listen, don't go to the prom. Don't go out running around with the gals or the boys. Okay? And when the ball game's on Wednesday night, don't show up. That's just a way of living a Christian life that we have forgotten about in our churches. Okay? And the world is, and there are some communities that will have ball games and things like that, not on Wednesday because they know that some people go to church. And I praise the Lord for that. Okay? Matthew, when he played Little League football, never had to play on Wednesday, and they never asked him to practice. I think they did ask him to practice one Wednesday, and we just respectfully told him, no, he'll be in church with us. And they were fine with that. It's no big deal. Okay? And but anyway, they, all around this country, they don't care anymore. They don't care that you have in church. Okay? They don't care. And that includes the adult ball games on Sunday. Okay? And if you have to duck out of here at church early to get out of the service so you can get to the ball field before the game starts, it's not right. I'm just telling you, it's not right. Okay? Anyway, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Look at that. Underline that. Circle it. Draw big arrows to it. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay? That, and I don't have to go off on all the music and all the stuff out there, but the closest communications that you'll get is your schoolmates and the people that you choose to hang around with. They will be the ones who will have the most influence on you. You might sit at home, and while your parents are not finding out about it, you might be listening to music that you know is wrong. That has somewhat of an influence in you. But compound that with the people that you go running around with. The sleepovers that you went to, or mom and daddy, I'm going to a party. Don't worry, there's nothing there. It's going to be chaperoned. You remember that, Jared? Remember the chaperone parties? Yeah. They weren't really, were they? That's just something we told our mom and dad so they wouldn't worry about us. See, we've been there. Okay? Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You're being taught good manners. Okay, by the church that you're going to, by the Sunday school. Listen, Linda and Bradley and Alicia and me, we'll teach Sunday school here. And I guarantee you, Linda's not saying, now, if you want to smoke, kids, you can go behind your mom's back, dead back and smoke them cigarettes. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't care what Brother Mike said. She's not going to do that. We had a substitute Sunday school teacher one time that was doing that. Yeah. And so I'm just telling you, you're learning good manners here at the house of God. Amen. You'll learn good manners if you listen to your mom and daddy. They'll try to teach you some good manners. And I believe good manners too. Amen. I believe that there's a way to eat. Don't eat like a hog. Amen. Okay. Clean yourself up. And I mean, all this stuff. Okay. But good manners, mannerisms, how you live your life, how you act and react to certain situations in life, and whether you are going to turn down temptations when they come. Now, I know that you cannot keep a child from every aspect of the world. You cannot do it. Unless you move to a 1,000-acre ranch in the middle of Montana and don't ever take them into town. Okay? And yeah, get rid of everything, okay? But you can't inoculate them against it. Okay? Parents and teachers and everything, we can't inoculate. I believe you can inoculate them so that when they get to the world, they know that there's a choice to make. And by and large, they are going to make the right one. And even if they slip a little bit like we all have, they'll come back. Amen? But anyway, I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Turn there. Verse 16. I'm going to start there because I just like that. I just like how that verse talks. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Did you know that you are, if you are born again, you are a priest. You're a priest offering up sacrifices. What are those sacrifices? Doing good and communicate. Those are the sacrifices. You see, you're denying your flesh when you're doing good. You're telling your flesh, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what's right. That's a sacrifice. Amen. It's killing it. Lay it on the altar. Amen. Get it out. See, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Young people, your parents are there for a reason. You don't like their rules. You don't like what they say. You don't like how they do things. You think they're out of it. They don't really get it, the times that we're living in. I thought my mom and dad were the stupidest people ever walked on the face of the earth. How in the world could people that stupid be able, smart enough to breathe? I mean, that's, you know, you get every young person gets to that age. Amen? And then after I get married and kind of get out on my own, the car breaks down, who am I calling? Daddy! Daddy, come help me! Okay, all of a sudden mom and daddy get a little bit smarter. Okay? So anyway, but it says obey them that have the rule over you. Now it does not say parents. It says them. And there are rulers in every walk of life. You cannot exist in this world without having a rule over you. It is impossible. Impossible. And it's not right either. Okay? The husband's the head of the house. I dealt with that today. Husband's the head of the house. Amen. The parents are the head of the children. The children do not dictate to mom and dad how it's going to be. Right. Do not negotiate with your children the terms for their surrender.
Amen.
Okay? Do it in love. I mean, love them, guide them, counsel them, love them, buy them things, do things for them, and have that, but stand your ground. Listen, I'm a parent, and it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I want my kids to like me. Dude, I'd like my wife to like me. Amen. I mean, she does, but I want everybody to like me. I want every, you know, and you know what is, you know what's in me? I'll preach my guts out some sermon like I am tonight. And I mean, I'll just be laying it out. And I get down out here, somebody come to me and say, you know, is this okay? Oh, yeah, it's okay. I mean, I immediately, when I'm face to face with somebody, I want to back down. That's me. But obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Submit yourselves. For they watch for your what? Your souls. Parents watch over the souls of your kids. Pastors to watch over the souls of his congregation. Okay? I have made people mad. I got somebody mad at me today. Not anybody that you know, not anybody around here, but I mean they are hot, hellfire mad at my congregation. Because I stood my ground. Biblically. And I didn't like it. I don't like that, but I have a responsibility to watch for your soul. I got to watch over my wife.
Amen.
I have to protect her. Okay, I have to protect my children, even the grown up ones. Amen. Okay, I mean I'll love you, I'll protect you. But it says, as they that must give an account. I have a huge, big responsibility on my shoulders of being a husband.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I'll tell you something. My wife has got some sense in her. Praise the Lord. Okay? And every stand that I've taken, God's put it in her heart to stand with me. I've not had to fight. Listen, when God put it in my heart about the King James, my wife said, oh, come on, don't start on that stuff. God put it in her heart. Okay? My wife is King James only. Okay? And, but I'm going to give an account one of these days of how I deal with her, how I deal with my children. I have failed. I know that. I don't want to fail anymore. I know I will. Don't want to. But anyway, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. See, where authority is protection. And I'm going to show you that here in a minute.
Yeah.
As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And it's hard when you are in charge of something. Even if it's at the workplace, it is hard, isn't it, Brady?
Yes.
Brady is actually the written, bona fide authority in that restaurant. Now he has someone over him.
Yes.
That, and for the book, amen, the policy manuals and all that stuff, but he deals with it. He deals with hiring these young kids in here that actually don't want the work. They just want the money.
Right.
Okay, and they think how he does everything stupid. They've worked one day at McDonald's and already know that it's done all wrong. Okay, how many of you ever encountered somebody like that in a workplace? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever been like that in a workplace? You better raise your hand. I guarantee the first day you worked at McDonald's, you was going, that's stupid. I did. I worked at McDonald's 2 days is all it took. A 4 hour total that I worked at McDonald's in Nashville, Tennessee. And I said, this is stupid. I'm out of here. But you know what? The responsibility and the lawsuit was not going to be put against me if something went wrong. Where authority is, there's protection. And what he knows is if he follows the book, he's under the authority of that book. Therefore, he's under the protection of that book. He goes outside of that, then it's going to go wrong. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
Young people, you will never be in a situation in life where you will be out on your own with no authority. Okay? You will never be in that situation, ever. Get used to it. And adults, the same way.
Amen.
The same way. It doesn't stop when you hit 18.
Right. Amen.
There are going to be realms of authority, husbands over wives, parents over children, pastor over church, president over America. Police officers over the county that we live in. They are civil authorities. And don't it ever let it be said that a born-again, Bible-believing Christian was ever pulled over and looked at that cop and said, would you leave me alone?
Right.
It's not right.
Amen.
It's not right. You know what they're doing? They're out there trying to protect you. They're out there trying to protect you. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Listen, this message is not my fault. I got stirred up, all right? I love you. I love my wife. I love my children. I love you more than in my own life. And that, listen, I am not joking on that either. Okay? A lot of you know we've had death threats around here. Okay? I'm not interested really in preserving my life any longer than what God wants me down here. But what I am interested in is protecting her and her and him and her and her and even some of you guys. I'm just kidding. Yeah, a couple of you anyway. Yeah, this side over here. That's what I'm interested in. If somebody came in this church, Rose, remember this. I was told that I could run out this back door right here and be out, okay, and protect myself. And I said, are you crazy? I mean, I didn't say that to him. I was real respectful, but I told him, I said, if that ever happens, I'm not running that way. I'm running this way, okay? Oh, come on. We got insurance, Jimmy. Amen. They'll clean up the mess. But where there's authority, there's protection. Now, I want you to look at it like this, and I like this, okay? I like this. I not only like how this Bible's written, I like how it's designed. You know what that is? That's a little dove flying around. You're going to get that in a minute. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust.
Amen.
Does God have wings? Yes. The Holy Ghost came down upon Jesus as a dove. This Bible's not joking. That's not just a metaphor. It's not some spiritual thing that doesn't really exist. That is exactly how it really is. The Holy Ghost, boy, I got stirred up. The Holy Ghost does not operate outside of this book. These are the wings right here. Okay? Old Testament. And how does a dove fly? Does it go like that? When one goes up, the other goes up. When one goes down, the other goes down. You see, they can two walk together except they be agreed. Okay? They shall mount up with wings as... Here's your eagle's wings right here. Anyway, look at verse 4 again. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. What is it do you trust in this world? And I can tell you, young people, don't trust your emotions. Don't trust them. Don't trust your urges, your impulses, your eyes, your ears. When sweetie boy reaches over and holds your hand, okay, it's like an explosion of ecstasy going off in you. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth. There it is, right? See, you don't. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Okay? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Nor for the, now, I want to ask you a question. Okay? Can this Bible be broken? Scripture cannot be broken. Okay? Did you know that if you will put your life under this shield, nothing can get through it.
Amen.
Nothing can.
Right.
Nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing.
Amen.
Huh?
It is written.
It is written. Okay? Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Who's got arrows? The devil's got fiery darts. Okay? Cupid. I'm going to move down, right down here, right, so he's listening real well, okay? Amen, we love Jimmy, amen. Amen. Look at verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Once you are under the authority of this Bible, you are under its protection, and they can't touch you. And they will try. And they will keep coming, and they will keep coming, and keep coming. And all of a sudden, one of these days, you're going to see 1,000 fall at thy side, and 10,000 shall fall at thy right hand. Yet it shall not come nigh thee.
Yeah.
Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where you live. You're living under the authority. Thus, you are living under the protection of God's grace in his habitation. And I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you. My kids will tell you. Some of you might tell everybody else that I'm not perfect. Okay? And I've told a lot of you people, when it comes to me, don't follow me, walk with me.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm going where this path takes me. Okay? And I'm not trying to raise up. We've been accused of being a cult. And you know why we were accused of being a cult? Not because of me.
Right, exactly.
But because of this.
Right.
I'm just saying, I get, God has shown me this from the Bible. That there are realms of authority, even if that cop pulls you over, he might have been smoking pot the night before. He's the authority. He's got a badge and a gun to go with it. And God said he's in authority.
Right.
Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay? And, you know, even Wayne. Wayne is a health inspector, a safety inspector. Okay? A fire inspector. And he goes into places that they don't want him to go into, and he says, this is not right, and this is not right, and this is not right. Did you know that he has the authority to say that, and they must comply with that? That's the law. And I don't care if it was a church or not, they must comply with that. You know how some people are, some of the churches are, you know how we are? We obey God's law. They make it sound real spiritual, that it's okay to disobey everything in the world. I'm obeying God. God's not in it. God is not in rebellion. He never has been, and he never, ever, ever will be. You walk out of your parents' authority, you're walking out of their protection.
Amen.
Okay? You walk out of a church's authority, You're walking out of their protection. You walk out of a Bible's authority. You're walking out of that protection. This is not self-grandizing Mike Hogger tonight. I have just soon one of these, somebody else come in here and teach this and me go off somewhere. I'm just telling you, I'm as serious as death about this thing. Yeah. Dinah left home to go hang with the girls, and look what happened to her.
Yeah.
There was bloodshed everywhere by the time it was all done. It started a war and a feud that probably to this day is still going on. People just don't know why it's going on. And so young people, listen, your mom and dad. Okay? Churches, church people, listen to the pastor as he is teaching the Word of God. Okay? The two go hand in hand. And if it doesn't go hand in hand, listen, you're not forced into a particular church membership. Okay? You can leave. But I'm just saying to you that God is serious about this thing. And He wants us to obey the rules and to obey them that have rule over us. How many of you agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm out.
Amen.
Okay, that was the end of the message right there. Should I do a magic trick or something like that? I mean, no. Listen, I want us to pray tonight. Yes, sir. That's what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to walk with me. Okay, and there's a difference because I know where I'm going. I'm going where this Bible takes us. Okay. You want to get with it? You walk with me, okay? And you walk because we'll follow the Word of God, and that way, if I fail in that, you're still walking that way. But what has happened in all across this land and all over this world? This is why we have so many people that follow us now. What has happened now all over the world is that they've decided to follow the man. And the man goes into false doctrine, and the man gets off in some kind of sin, and the man does this, the man does that, and they're following him, and all of a sudden they're out because they put a man in the place where God's authority must be. And I'm saying to you, don't do that. Number one, don't put that responsibility on my shoulders. Okay? And we'll just go arm in arm into the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. Hey, listen, I got to quit. All right? This is costing us extra. Who cares? Amen? Amen. God bless you. I love you. I want us to, you don't have to stand right now. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Okay? And you pray for me. Because I mean, I did. I got it today. I got it today. Somebody gave it to me. And you just pray for your church and pray for that God will keep helping us to stand. Amen. He'll keep helping us to stand. And pray for yourself. Pray for areas in your life that you might be in rebellion to. Not to me, but to this Bible. Areas of life that you might be in rebellion in the workplace. Amen? In the workplace, in the environment that you're in. At school. It ought not ever be said that any young people went to this church, got rebellious at school and got kicked out. Okay? And I know kids make mistakes, and I understand that. But obey them that have the rule over you. And remember, get under the rule of this Bible. In every part of life, get under the rule. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, dear God. Lord, that does not bring me pleasure to have to preach like this. God, it scares me. Because, Lord, I think, Lord, of all the times, God, Lord, that I did not do what I told everybody to do tonight. Lord, I know what it's like. I'm not just preaching out of the textbook, God. I'm preaching by experience. I know what it's like, and it's not good. And Father, Lord, if I could just repent over and over and over again, Lord, Father, for being rebellious against you, Lord, would you have mercy upon me? Because, Father, Lord, I don't like not being under your protection. I thank you, dear God, for having mercy and for covering me with your wings. I thank you for that. Lord, help us to see, Lord, what it's doing to our kids. Help us to see, dear God, how they're turning out. Help our young people, God, to not be rebellious, to not turn their backs on you.
Lord, Father, just help us, dear God, who are in authority, to watch for the souls that are under us. Take that responsibility, dear God. Lord, bless families tonight that are watching tonight, Lord, that have had to leave a church because it wasn't right. They decided not to follow the multitude. Lord, Father, give them a blessing tonight. Encourage them, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done here. Lord, soften our hearts. We love you. Thank you, dear God, and we praise you always in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.